Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we are talking exactly about that. But we're going to change the word. We're going to, instead of saying mind, we're going to change it to brain. Today we're going to be talking about brainwave vibration, getting back into the rhythm of a happy, healthy life. This is a technique that has been researched for many years, and my very special guest is Dr. Sung Lee, and I want to welcome you to the show, Dr. Lee.
Thank you very much.
Your book was utterly fascinating. Now, I do want to say that Mr. Ilchi Lee is the gentleman that did a great deal of this research that's behind this book, and he's been studying the brain for more than 25 years because he really wants to help people develop their own personal capacities. And he calls it the brain education system training, and it's just had such an effect on people. May I ask, how did you become acquainted with Dr. Lee yourself?
Yes, I'm delighted to share about that. So first of all, just for the clarity of your listeners, I just wanted to make sure that they know that I'm not the author of the book, but I have worked with Mr. Lee for some time now, and I'm happy to speak somewhat on his behalf to talk about this book. So I'm trained in medicine, internal medicine, which is the care of folks with general health problems, like diabetes or high blood pressure, heart disease, and so forth. So, you know, we see folks in this field who have a lot of conditions which really there's good reason to believe have been exacerbated by stress. And so this has been something that I've always been sensitive to, is how can we help guide a person's mind-body condition, manage their stress level, so that they can improve their overall well-being. And actually, the real way I got into this is I just stepped into a Dhyan yoga center myself many years ago when I was in New York City, and I really loved what was going on there. I just felt myself personally, the power of these exercises, and I saw the transformations of people that were in this training center around me, and I realized that, wow, this is a very highly effective way to really get out of these cycles of a stress response, and I said, I want to do more research on this. I ended up doing a little study that actually documented the effects associated with this kind of training, and it's just been kind of one thing after another. So that's the long answer to your question, but it could go on even more. So please, where should we take this?
Well, let's go into a little bit of the background regarding Dr. Lee himself, because I know he does not speak English, and that's why it's such a delight to be able to talk to you, and because you've had such a direct involvement with this training. He really has a passion for this. Do you know where this passion came from, why it is that he has dedicated so many years of his life in this research?
Wow, great question. So the way that I understand Mr. Lee is that he had an awakening as a young man in maybe his 30s or so. And what happened prior to this awakening was an urgent desire to have a deeper sense of truth about his role in the cosmos and what life was all about. And the way he tells it, he decided at one point, again as a young man, maybe his late 20s, early 30s or so, I'm going to go up and take a meditative kind of trip, and I'm not going to return until I've gotten some answers. And so this goes back to about 1980 in South Korea to Mount Mohawk. And he went up for 3 weeks, and by his own account, he did not eat or sleep. It was a very ascetic kind of journey. And again, by his account, he, after 21 days, had a thundering crash in his head that awakened to him as a realization that I am cosmic energy, my energy is cosmic energy. And basically, he was really awakened to the power of this universal life force around him and in the cosmos. And from that moment forward, he just dedicated his life to sharing ways for people to wake up that kind of realization in their own lives. And it's taken many, many forms. If one does a detailed little history into how many kinds of educational systems that Mr. Elias has worked on, it really numbers quite a few. And in the beginning, he really just wanted people to wake up to their energy. So he created a system called Dan Hak. In Korean, that means study of energy. But he quickly realized that people needed to understand that it was really all about their brain. And so in the beginning, he developed a method called brain respiration, which is a way to actually just circulate this life energy more throughout the brain and nervous system. And later on, he wanted people to understand that this is not just about even a metabolic kind of method for circulating energy or what have you, but it's also about a kind of an education, and it's a new way of understanding yourself and of using your brain. And so then he developed what you nicely described as the brain education system training. And so that really is kind of the way that he feels that he can most accurately and substantively transmit what he experienced to people around the world nowadays through this concept and practice of brain education.
Now, he mentions in his book that his brain wave vibration training primarily focuses on the brain stem.
Right.
This really intrigued me. Why is that the case?
Right. You know, that's another great question. You're really cutting to all the great questions. And my understanding of this, and I have asked him this directly, is that he felt that this is really this primal source of power for human life. And he wasn't approaching this from a scientific point of view. Obviously, as you mentioned, he's not trained as a scientist, and so it's not as if he discovered this by doing some research with microscopes and so forth. But again, this was an experiential awareness. So part of this awakening is he felt that this energy was connecting to him through his brainstem. And, you know, as Westerners, we have trouble, you know, with the notion that you can sort of communicate with your body in that kind of a way and get any kind of accurate knowledge. In the East, that's not such an outlandish notion. And there's an acceptance that, yes, you can have that kind of intuitive understanding of yourself. And that was his awareness. That was his awakening, that it's through the brainstem that this power, this life energy, actually transmits to the body at large. And by the way, you know, there are plenty of scientific kinds of explanations one could adduce to try to sort of give a scientific explanation, again, for that kind of an insight. And we know, for example, that the brainstem is this primal part of our nervous system, which manages very basic life functions such as breathing and heartbeats. You know, it's also been called the reptilian brain because it's what we use to, again, you know, manage these very basic, you know, survival behaviors. And so, you know, if you think about, you know, modern humanity as being in some ways, you know, I mean, very cultured, and we rely on education and knowledge and information, and in many ways we're kind of disconnected from that brain-body connection. If you think of it in that way, you can say that, gee, you know what, we really do need to get back to some of those very basic functions of the brainstem and connecting ourselves to its ability to use its own wisdom to regulate the body. And so I don't think that's such a far stretch.
I agree with you. I don't think it's a far stretch at all. In fact, I was having a conversation with someone just yesterday who was talking about their concern for the young people coming up today because if they are so adept with technology that they're using mechanisms instead of interacting face-to-face, one-on-one, and many people involved with these younger people are finding that they don't know how to communicate, that their brains are becoming hardwired in a different program, if you will, that is creating an alienation and, in a sense, an isolation that they should not have. And this is just a bit of a digression, but it brings me to a point in the book when he talks about how our brain waves literally interact with other brains as we are interacting with people. And also the term bioelectricity that he brings out in his book. This is something when you get into this kind of a thought process, there is a mindful presence that you must have so that you can understand how this is connecting. It really is significant. It takes a form of concentration, doesn't it?
I totally agree, and I endorse every single thing you've said. I really think that the role of technology in shaping the way humans interact with each other is really having a profound impact on society, even on the way, just as you said, our brains are literally getting wired. And, you know, obviously there are many good things about that, the instantaneous nature of communication and so forth, but just as you say, that also has deep implications for how human beings relate to each other. I think you're really onto all the key points with all your comments there.
He brings out a point in his book about vibration and how in research today the emphasis on exercise has been so significant. But my goodness, as long as I've lived, it's just been a fact of life. It's something that I've always heard promoted, at least in my environment. But with so many people living so much longer today, we are seeing osteoporosis at record levels. And he brings out in his book that simply standing on an oscillating platform, their mobility increased. He talks about vibration on so many different levels. And he says that he has an application for that. Of course, exercise would promote that to a degree. But he said that there's a brain-body connection when you have that vibratory frequency going through your body. Can you go into that a little bit more in detail?
Sure. You know, I think, again, you know, you're bringing up all the great points here. And just to start from the very basics, the notion of movement itself, we are finally, you know, as scientists, I'll speak for, you know, researchers, getting the long-held wisdom, you know, in the scientific form. That is, we're finally confirming with data and mechanisms and these rigorous studies what people have known intuitively and what our grandmothers and mothers and other, you know, people have taught us for so long, that movement of the body is so valuable for our well-being. And so, just as you say, any kind of exercise, whether it's, you know, cardiovascular and aerobic work or just flexibility training or other kinds of resistance exercises, there are so many different levels at which this is valuable for improving, again, our cardiovascular fitness, our overall circulation, and now we're understanding more how it even increases growth factors in the brain and probably even promotes plasticity, the ability of the brain to rewire itself. So many levels at which movement and circulation of blood and energy is so valuable for our brain, our body, and our brain-body connection. And, you know, this issue of just vibration, you know, we can take that a little bit further. You know, I think it's a very fascinating one, and as you may have seen in the book, you know, there's some allusion to how whole body vibration is sort of akin to the shaking medicine of indigenous cultures. And we know that, you know, and again, these indigenous cultures, people may have just shaken their bodies, just really moved all around in a high vibration, or used drumming or some other kind of, again, fast, high-frequency movements just to keep themselves healthy and moving. Well, what could that be about? I don't know. That's the first thing I'll say. I really don't know from a scientific point of view. I'll speak in that from that point of view. But there are a lot of interesting things to speculate. And, for example, one could just be the circulation, again, of blood and energy, oxygen, just moving just the different nutrients and waste products in and out of the system in a more efficient way. And again, just allowing that to help all other aspects of our metabolism. But I'll point out one other thing, which I learned from some other studies I've done in about the brain waves and some people who believe there are methods for getting the brain waves to move in the right way. And, you know, they have made this analogy with other kinds of animal species. And specifically, they describe how, for example, when animals are injured, you'll see them, they'll shake off their injury. Okay, so if they have some kind of traumatic event or if they're just scared by having been chased by a predator so often, after that happens, they just shake it off, okay? And we hear that phrase, shake it off, right? Something bad happens, shake it off, right?
Right.
Or if we also think about someone who's been, you know, maybe involved in a motor vehicle accident, afterward, even though there's no coldness in the air, they may be shivering, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's this about, this vibration and shaking? And again, I've talked to some folks who believe that this is actually a way for the body to discharge a lot of these spiking stress hormones and stress neurotransmitters that have been released. And if that's not done, if this shaking isn't done, then certain kinds of dysfunctional patterns can get set into place. And now, we haven't been able to document this kind of thing in scientific ways, but from a speculative point of view, I think it's very interesting, and I think there's a lot going for it. And so when we vibrate ourselves, you know, outside of a traumatic situation, can we somehow try to do what we should have done before? Can we somehow get some of these stored patterns or some kind of even, not even patterns, but even chemicals or other kinds of physical mediators of stress? Can we somehow release them from our system? Again, this is all speculation, but, you know, if we're trying to find mechanisms of how vibration could help, I think that that's another very possible explanation.
You, in the book, Dr. Lee brings out how in Korea, children, when they're very small, are taught the do-re movement, and that there's a strong belief that this particular movement improves the brain activity with a child. And we all know that if you take a child and you isolate a child and you don't encourage them to dance or to move, which they are generally going to do all on their own anyway, they just can't hardly stay still. That's the nature of the child. The child is going to want to constantly agitate, aggravate, motivate, move. It's just who they are. That's part of their growing cycle. It irritates adults no end because we'd like them to be perfectly still many times, but that rarely is going to be a possibility. It's just natural for them to be that way. What is this do-re-do-re movement?
Okay, so this is a very simple way of just the head going back and forth, left and right, do-re-do-re. And this is actually just the simple brainwave vibration technique that Mr. Lee described. And it's a simple way to just kind of, he kind of describes it as just kind of resetting the brain so that there are different and less agitated brainwave patterns dominant. And we actually have been working with some folks in Japan, and they've studied folks who have done that kind of simple left and right shaking of the head, and they actually found that there were changes in blood circulation, that is, actually increased blood circulation to the prefrontal cortex, and also increased levels of serotonin release. So we don't know how this is working exactly, but, you know, it's, again, just these simple methods seem to have these kinds of results. And so, you know, we look forward to doing this kind of a study in a controlled way to see what happens, you know, compared to a control group.
He talks about music. He talks about the benefits of music, which I strongly believe in. Also the effects of drumming. And when a woman is pregnant, how music affects the child. And I think research is finally finding out, well, women have known for a long time, if they paid attention, when you are carrying a child, that child is an extension of you. Everything that is a part of your body goes into the making of that child. And it is going to be affected by everything you hear, you see, you think. I mean, it is totally 100% affected. It always fascinated me when people said, no, that's not necessarily the case. But finally, they've begun to recognize it. But tones, sounds, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, they all have a very strong effect on us. He also talks about sending a love letter to the cells of our body, and I've known many people that have done this. What is this process, sending a love letter to ourselves, all about?
Right. this is a very wonderful notion here. And, you know, I think it probably works at different kinds of levels. We haven't really been able to identify what could be going on here. But if you just start with the notion that, as we were talking about throughout this whole program, that the brain and the body are connected. And so what's happening in your thoughts and your emotions and your intentions is related to what's happening in the rest of your body. If you just start with that very simple notion, right, then that has all kinds of implications and all kinds of different therapeutic strategies. And when you talk about sending a love letter to yourselves, that's one of them, one of many different ways one could do it. So when you're doing that, you're sending out this intentionality of acceptance and loving, warm energy. And, well, what is that in a biochemical term? Well, for one, it's the reverse of the stress response. So So it's not about the cortisol and the norepinephrine and some of these other, again, mediators of stress and fear and fight and flight and so forth. All of those different chemicals are gearing our body up to basically either wage war or to panic and run away. And those kinds of mechanisms are really not about the healing response, because you're not trying to heal your body when you're in fight and flight. You're just trying to physically be away from danger. And if you use your body's energy resources, you know, all the different biochemical resources and so forth, to try to heal yourself and make yourself better, you would, in ancient evolutionary terms, you wouldn't survive long if you spent energy trying to heal yourself in that kind of a threatening situation. So that's not what the body tries to do when you're in that fear, fight, flight response. So if you just take the opposite of that, then, if you can somehow manage your system, your autonomic system, your sympathetics, and, you know, all that fear and fight or flight, and reverse that by sending out these loving messages to yourself and completely showing yourself that there's no reason for fear, you're bringing down your stress hormones and other stress neurotransmitters, then you can actually allow some of these other healing processes to happen. You're probably going to get some kicks in growth hormone and oxytocin, and all of these other healing mechanisms can come into place. So, you know, it's, again, if you just start with the brain-body connection, there are lots of different ways you can maximize the value of that. And sending a message of love to yourself is a great way to do it, among many.
I really like many of the stories that he has put in his book. One of his comments is, I really, really like this. In fact, I'm going to be doing a class on this in the spring. Low quality information is like junk food for the brain, while high quality information is like highly nutritious, satisfying food. Brainwave suffer is fed a consistent diet of low level information. Garbage in, garbage out. And that just absolutely pushed my buttons, because I really believe that. I believe that just like if we put bad stuff into our body and we're going to have a result, when we're not diligent about what we are feeding our minds, what we're putting into our heads, which is working with the brain, we're really going to have some challenges. And he used a sentence in here. He said, if you allow a smidgen of negative stuff to come into your brain, you've unconsciously allowed a destructive virus to come in. And we all know computers. So I think that's a very, very good description. With you being involved with Dr. Ilchi Lee, how has this affected your life? Because obviously you're a spokesman for him, helping him get his information out to the people. And I really think this book, Brainwave Vibration, is just wonderful. How has it affected your life and enabled you to assist the patients that you're working with today?
Right. Wow. Another good question. So this book, and working with Mr. Lee, really, the other way around, because the book is only very recent, you know, since working with Mr. Lee, really, it's just been one amazing story and experience after another. And, you know, in the East, he is really considered from his early days as a great spiritual teacher. And he still is that. But he really is trying to help to elevate, really, the whole kind of culture of the whole earth by helping people to see themselves in a much bigger kind of way, in a simpler kind of way. So he wants to help people to have an identity as an earth human being and not primarily as someone of a particular national or religious or ethnic or gender or so forth identity. And to do that, he's leading people to really focus on the power and value of their own brains. And when you just put those two things together, again, you know, this transnational kind of culture and identity and consciousness, and then using the power of the brain to do that, I just think that's such a wonderful and amazing combination. And I think it's, in many ways, it's the most viable one for the future of the human species. You know, when you think about different kinds of movements for progress, right? I mean, if you're a historian, and I did study history when I was in undergraduate, you know, you look at different kinds of political movements, and, you know, we've tried things ranging from socialism to, you know, full-blown, you know, capitalism or state societies or what have you. And then religions have tried to, you know, somehow unify the world and provide some kind of, you know, guiding principle and what have you. And I think that nowadays people are sort of a little bit savvy that, that there are real limitations to, you know, purely political or economic or religious ways of understanding the human being. And I think if people could just come back to the simplicity and also the complexity and power of what's, you know, lying within their skull, that is actually so much more valuable. To start with that and to all the things we've talked about, you know, the quality of information coming into the brain, the stress response, you know, whether the brain and body are feeling connected, whether you're using your body well, and so on and so forth. If you can start with that, I think you're already on such better ground than if you started with, you know, notions of, you know, whatever archaic ideas about, you know, the metaphysics or the afterlife and so on and so forth. It's such a much more simple and effective and practical way for people just to orient themselves to one another and the earth, just, again, use the brain well. So in that way, you know, using that kind of a basic framework for understanding, you know, our relationship with one another and the earth, it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm so glad to have be where I am. And because medicine, although it's a wonderful profession, it has its own limitations, a certain kind of a understanding of health and disease and so forth. As to the second part of your question, you know, how has it, you know, affected me and my practice with my patients and all that, well, as I mentioned to you, I'm trained in internal medicine, but I'm actually doing my practice in a different way now, and we're actually doing a practice in brainwave biofeedback. So this kind of takes that story of using the brain well and applies some actual, you know, computer technology to it, so that we can find ways to assist and guide the brain to actually be used well. And so, you know, this is a very wonderful, natural, and kind of a holistic method for promoting wellness. And I'm sure that I wouldn't have had steered myself to this kind of technology if I hadn't expanded my vision through my association with Mr. Lee.
Well, I agree with that, and I think it's wonderful to hear a physician talk about the expansiveness of what they've become aware of. I think that there are assumptions that many will make regarding physicians not being able to see that there is this movement towards the recognition that there are alternatives to work with and that we have to deal with people as a whole person. Mind, body, spirit, thought, feeling, whatever terms you want to use, because the whole package is significant. And if someone does have a lot of stress and they don't, you know, if they try to make everything absolutely hunky-dory, peachy-keen, well, why do they have colitis? Why do they have situations where their body just seems to be battling itself? What's really going on? So I really think that you're to be complimented that you have been open and receptive to this. Now, in the book, Brainwave Vibration, by Dr. Ilchi Lee, this also is loaded with some very simple exercises that work with the vibration of the body that enable you to feel better about yourself. It's something to explore the mind-body-brain connection, emotional connection. It is all there. And so this is a marvelous book, very, very comfortable reading. You do it for yourself. You don't do it for anybody else. Dr. Song Lee, I know that we have a couple of websites here that can be visited to find out more about brainwave vibration, and, of course, my audience is very knowledgeable about that. They can go to www.danyoga.com, that's danyoga.com, or www.ilchi.com, that's ilchi.com. And I'm sure you could just Google brainwave vibration and you'd come up with this information as well. It has been such a pleasure having you as a guest, Dr. Song Lee.
Thank you very much
for taking time out of your busy schedule. I appreciate you again. The book is Brainwave Vibration, and thank you again.
Thank you very much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. More good things to share. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. If you want to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the toll-free numbers to call into: 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're in the U.S., you can also use that number as well. We also have 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I wanted to share with you a quote from Dr. Einstein that Dr. Lee used in the front of his book, Brainwave of Vibration. It's just absolutely marvelous. Of course, Albert Einstein is a man that is historically just so much, he's very much appreciated by a lot of people. But there are times when he made statements that I think were extremely profound, and it showed his thinking process as a man, as a person, and this is one of them. A human being is a part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is the kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures, and the whole of nature in its beauty. Albert Einstein, very profound words. And I believe that there is a major shift evolving there. I think with the Internet, with the use of technology, we are becoming aware of a much bigger space in life. Oh, what was that? My goodness, I've got some kind of a noise there. Anyway, I just thought those words were worthy of sharing. And by the way, I wanted to mention to you, if you're interested in trying to, something's going on with the phone lines. Anyway, I wanted to remind you that the drawing is going to be done late today for the TTAP gift packages. Now, each of these packages, there's three of them, are worth over $100 in products. So what I want you to do, if you want to get in at the last minute to see if you can get this fabulous Fit and Fabulous, I know we just heard a beep, but a Fit and Fabulous package, and believe me, it's worth it, and I'll get you a caller in just a minute. Please send me an email. Do it now. Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Now, in the subject line, put the Donna Sebo Show and put the code DSS30. I get hundreds of emails, so it's important you put that code in the subject line so I can pull it out quickly and put it in the EPOT. We're going to be having the drawing tonight. So I will be making the announcement tomorrow, and I've been in touch with Teresa, and she's excited to find out who the lucky winners are, and so am I. So if you have a friend, if you want to do this for yourself, don't forget that email. Be sure to put the Donna Sebo Show in the public, in the statement subject line, along with the DSS-30. And, of course, I need your contact information because we will need to ship this out to you as quickly as possible. And Teresa, when I was in touch with her today, she said, Donna, as soon as I get it, we're going to make sure it gets in the mail. Of course, New Year's is just around the corner, but isn't that great to be able to get one of these magnificent packages? There are three of them, so there's three lucky winners that we're going to be announcing on Wednesday, tomorrow. So be sure you tune in for that. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
E from Lakewood.
Hi, is this Lakewood, Washington?
Yes, it is.
Well, aren't you happy that it's nice and dry outside and no more snow and ice?
Right, and rain.
Yes, but I'll take the rain, thank you very much. I've had it with the ice. I don't need any more of that. My goodness. Okay, E, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at is there is a tremendous amount of challenge that is going to be coming up in front of you as of late spring 2009. Now, when I'm looking at this, I'm not seeing you apprehensive about it because it appears to me there's something that you're working with that is creating a momentum, and you're realizing that this challenge could easily smack you pretty hard in the latter part of spring, but you will be prepared so that you'll be able to ride the wave of disorder that might try to introduce itself. Just imagine yourself like a surfer, and you're just riding that wave and just going through whatever you have to go through. You're not going to fight it. You're just going to move with it, and then it all washes out the way it's supposed to. So there's a lot going on, and you have carried forward into the new year some things that you were not able to complete in 2008, so you're bringing them forward in 2009, and you're determined that you're going to put it in order. You're absolutely right with your attitudes. You will get it done, and you won't have as many distractions as you did in 2008. Lots of planning relative to money. So there's something you're wanting to do financially that's going to give you what you feel is a secured investment. I like what I see. Keep it up. You're not going backwards. Everything is going to work out, but you will have some issues that you will need to deal with, and again, you're going to be well prepared. This isn't going to come in through the back door and surprise you. You'll see it coming, and you'll know how to ride the wave. Do you have a question for me?
That's good advice because we're planning to build a house in the spring.
Oh, okay.
So it all ties in.
Oh, my goodness. That's always a challenge, isn't it, building a new home?
Yes. My question is about my cat. Her name is Kitty, and she's decided not to use the litter boxes.
And all right, there is something going on with her that has caused a major distraction, and she has developed, I think, a slight irritation. I'd encourage you to talk with a vet.
Okay.
And find out what could be there. If there is something that has caused her a problem relative to the kitty litter itself. So I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I would talk to your vet.
Okay. So you think maybe she doesn't like the kitty litter, too?
It might be that, but it could also be an irritation that she's feeling.
Okay.
And I don't know whether it would be a chemical response that's affecting her. It's so many different things, but I would talk to your vet, because I think there's some other issues here that are going on with her.
All right. Yeah, she's getting up in age, so that's probably great advice.
I would. I'd check it out there.
Okay.
How old is she, by the way?
12.
Well, she is not that old, but she is maturing, dependent on... You know, so many cats live to be almost 20. So I think what you've got here is something that may be affecting her kidneys. And I really would encourage you, again, I'm repeating myself, I know, but I'm just so aware of that. I think if this is something you don't guess,
okay,
you ask.
Yeah, and she's kind of started vomiting too, so.
Get her to the vet.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for your advice.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling in, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome, dear. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Donna Siebel here. Don't forget, we've got that TTAP drawing. If you want to get into that, just put an email to me. I need it today before, well, let's see, within the next hour and by 5 o'clock my time Pacific. So wherever you are, you have, let's see, an hour and 15 minutes. And then that's going to be a cutoff time, and then we're going to have to put everything together and have the drawing this evening, and I will be making the announcement on the show tomorrow. I also will be sending out an email. So get an email to me, put the Donna Siebel Show in the subject matter, and then put DSS-30 right alongside so I can pull it out right away from all of the other emails that I get. And then I need your contact information in the body. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Okay. Oh, I've got a neat story for you. Have you ever known of a miser? Well, this one absolutely took the cake. Now, I know you probably know of a few misers in your life. I mean, these are the cheapskates of cheapskates. But there is a recorded story about a particular woman. Her name is Hetty Green, and she was given the title. I was going to say dignified, but that would not apply. The title is Witch of Wall Street. Ah, yes. How did this woman become worth more than $100 million? Well, I don't think anybody ever read about her in the newspaper until after she died. I'm going to share the story with you after we go to break. Well, we're going to first give you the information about the people that are coming up. Now, tomorrow, it's New Year's Eve Day. I'm going to have an open mic, so you'll be able to call in at any time during the hour. And, of course, on New Year's Day, we probably will be having a Best of Donna run so that I can be with friends and family. But on Friday, we're going to be having the most delightful young woman. Her name is Gemma. And we're going to be talking about one of her programs that she's been involved with. It's taken her around the world. It's called A Single Drop. This young woman has performed in front of people at the United Nations. She's performed in just about every country around the world. She's just absolutely delightful. I had the privilege of meeting her in October of this year, and I said, I've just got to have you as a guest. So it's a great way to lead off in the new year. And then we're going to be having some fascinating guests. Are you concerned about 2012? Well, we'll be talking about that, how to keep things simple and sane. Want a better brain? We were talking about that today, where we're going to find out how you can do that. We're going to talk with someone that's overcome obstacles, a little bit of information on psychic surgeries and faith healing, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Lots of good stuff. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. I'll tell you about Hetty when we come back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. 1-800-327-7997. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
This is Donna Sebo. Let me tell you about Hetty. Hetty was considered one of America's richest women. She is also known as being the most miserly. Can you imagine someone coming from a family? And in fact, this was the Quaker Howland family, and they made their fortune in the whaling industry. As it turned out, she ended up becoming the wealthiest of any member in the family. She inherited $833,332 from her father, plus $4 million in property and investments. And this woman was just an unbelievable character. She tried her best to add her Aunt Sylvia's income and fortune as well, but she failed after contesting the will with a very apparently forged document. Now, she was a shrewd investor. She was so stingy, though, absolutely unbelievably stingy. She built herself up as a formidable operator. She became known as the Queen of Wall Street. Now, of course, when you're that efficient at making money, you're going to have your enemies. There's always going to be somebody out there that thinks that they should have it instead of you. Many of them were quite jealous of her success, and instead of giving her the title of the Queen of Wall Street, they substituted the word witch. But there was nothing weird or magical about anything that she did. She was just plain tight with all of her money. Now, this is what she would do. This just is absolutely mind-boggling. And you have to remember that this was in the 1800s and late 1800s. But regardless, for that era, considering what most women's status was at that time, she is phenomenal. Now, she lived in cheap boarding houses. She wore ancient, tattered, and faded clothes. She would ride around town in a carriage that had once been a hen house. I mean, this is unreal. This woman has so much money she'd never be able to spend it in her lifetime. And she's riding around in a hen house? Blah. She was so cheap that she would not even spend money on an office. In fact, she conducted her daily business sitting on the floor of her bank, surrounded by cheap trunks and suitcases full of all of the documents that she had. Now, she was obviously very eccentric, but the bank didn't mind. Can you imagine why? Well, she had a current balance always of about $2 million a day. Do you think a bank would fuss about a little lady sitting in the middle of the floor with a bunch of trunks around her? I don't think so. Now, she just had this tremendous delusion that she lived with, the phobia, I think we would call it today. She was marked down to be kidnapped or killed. And she always would go to the most ridiculous extremes to ward off her imaginary attackers. She had all kinds of routes throughout town that would take her just in circles. She'd double back on her tracks, and she'd even hide in doorways to evade the fortune hunters she was sure that were out following her. And she was also convinced, I don't know what made her feel this way, that her father and aunt had been poisoned by enemies. Now, what's so amazing about this, she was so tight-fisted, she was so stingy, Yet her friends remembered her with great affection. Yes, she actually had friends. Now, she wasn't above criticizing friends, which is that a big surprise? I mean, as tight-fisted as she was in so many areas, she was also probably tight-minded. And she thought that her friends were often just so extravagant. And she said these unjustifiable extravagances just were absolutely unacceptable. Well, considering she was worth all this money, I guess it was okay. But there was an incident that finally did her in. The Countess Leary was one of her closest associates, happened to be staying with her in 1916, and one of the servants lost patience and turned on Hetty for criticizing the Countess's spending. Well, this kind of insolence was just not tolerated by Hetty. She suffered an apoplectic fit, and she died. Wow. What a way to live. This woman was worth $100 million when she died. $100 million. What in the world is this in the way of a life? All of that money and there was no joy, just the possessiveness, constant fear. That's not living. But I thought, what a wonderful story to make us aware of the fact that you could have what other people may really, really envy and absolutely be totally miserable. I wonder what happened to that $100 million. I wonder if the bank still got it in all of her trunks. I'm being a little stinker when I say that. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that story with you. When I came across that, I went, whoa, that's too good not to share. We always need to be grateful for what's around us and to realize that you can't take it with you, for heaven's sakes. Being prudent and wise and being a good custodian of whatever you have is always good, I think. But we also need to remember that there are things that, hey, if you don't like money, then donate it to some people or a group that perhaps can use it to make this world a better place. But think about the things you could invest in, what you could do with your money. I like that comment that someone mentioned not too long ago, that you want to leave the world a better place having been here. What is it? I think thinking about legacy is very important. And when we're coming into the new year, I also want to share something with you. I received a wonderful email from Marsha Mulkin, who is an award-winning author, and she's been on my show. And she said that she is doing something on New Year's Day that is quite special. And that is that she is going to make a list of all of the wonderful things that have happened to her. She said, instead of making a list about what I want to achieve for the year, I'm making a list about the goals I was able to achieve in 2008 and the things that were milestones with my family, with myself, and perhaps even with some friends, some of the things they shared with me. And I thought, what a great way to do it. She said making a list of 20 items. And she shared her list. And I thought that was really a very thoughtful thing to do. So I'll pass that suggestion along to you, too. Maybe on New Year's Day, when you're sitting around with your family and friends, or maybe it's just a laid-back holiday for you where you can just put your feet up and relax and maybe watch some good movies, why don't you take about 15 minutes, maybe a half hour of that day, and don't worry about having a television or anything else on, and just sit down and think about your own personal levels of accomplishment that you were able to achieve during 2008. And if you want to take the time to look at what you'd like to do in 2009, that's good too. But there's something about appreciating what you've already gone through and what you've already been able to recognize for yourself that enables you to maybe move forward in the new year with new enthusiasm. So I just shared that with you as well. Well, there are a number of other things I was going to share with you today, but I'll just have to keep it for tomorrow. I want you to remember, if you want to be in the TTAP drawing, send me that email. That's very important. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And if for some reason, for whatever reason, you might have a problem, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852, and I will put you in that drawing because this is so special. Three gifts, each worth over $100. TTAP, Fit and Fabulous 2009. You're not going to go wrong with this. This is Donna Siebel, and I know we are almost out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Brainwave vibration that we were talking about is real. Garbage in, garbage out. Feed your mind, feed your emotions, feed your body with the right kind of stuff. Don't put in what you don't want there. Don't watch on television. Don't do anything that is not going to give you what you need so that you have the finest and best always to draw upon. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.